Praise God, praise God, praise God. From the book of Genesis, the 26th chapter, or 22nd chapter. I preached that little mini sermon last Sunday and we got in and out. And for those of you who pointed out to me that we did not dismiss until 12:02, I want you to know that's because the children sang. I finished preaching at 11:58. So blame it on the anointing on the kids' choir last Sunday. Okay. So I thought I'd start in Genesis. That way I've got a lot of fodder. Got a lot of preaching fodder. I won't run out of things to say if you start in Genesis. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time. And said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee. And in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the sea shore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. And from Exodus, the 13th chapter, verse number 18. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straightway sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. And I want to preach to you this morning using a subject that I have never used before in preaching: destiny. It was early this week, I think it was Tuesday morning, about 4 o'clock in the morning, maybe 5, the Lord awakened me and spoke to me with a very strong impression of the Holy Spirit to preach on the subject of destiny. And so by the help of the Lord, I'm going to bring you what the Lord gave me. Let's all pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this present, for this house and for this people and for your presence that is here. And now I ask you, Lord, that you will allow the holy presence of the Lord to descend upon us. Let our hearts be open, let our ears be unstopped, and let our spirit be receptive to what thus saith the Lord. Let me preach with authority, let me preach with understanding, let me preach with revelation this morning what you have given us for this service in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray that those who are watching by way of our webcast, I pray that they will open their hearts to the preaching of the word and let them be changed this morning as we are changed in this house in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. Destiny. A predetermined course of events considered as something beyond human power or control. It was probably about 4 or 5 that morning, and as I gained consciousness, I felt the Holy Ghost speak to my spirit. 2012 is going to be a year of destiny for Calvary Apostolic Church. Now, I've been at this long enough to recognize that when God speaks, it's time to listen. I also know that for some of you, for some of us, for most of us, the past few years have brought some very significant, irregular, and unexpected detours. Some of us have buried loved ones in 2011. Some have buried dreams and plans. Some have put important plans on hold till a better time. Some have concluded that their plans were never meant to be. But I've come to you with a word from the Lord this morning. Death hell, graves, chaos, divorce, sickness, famine, financial ruin, family disappointment, employment or unemployment, and any other apparent disaster will never sidetrack you from the destiny that God has determined for your life. From the day that God spoke to Abraham in Genesis 22, that was about 1870 BC, until January the 1st, 2012, there has not been a time when there was a chance that the prophecy would not be fulfilled. Listen to the voice of God in 22, 17 and 18. In blessing I will bless thee. And in multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because thou hast obeyed my voice. This was a reconfirmation of the covenant that was sealed in Genesis 17 between a 99-year-old man and the God of heaven. God has never needed your talent, your ability, your vision, your ingenuity, your genius or your strength. All he's never ever needed to complete his will is your complete submission to his plan and his word. He needs your willingness to trust him in every situation. And if you will trust him and if you will obey him, he will bring his word to pass and he will fulfill his will. And every word that's spoken will come to pass. It is your destiny. God waited till Abraham was 99 years old before he brought up the idea that they could enter into a covenant that would survive for 4,000 years. We're in a far greater hurry than God is. We get a promise and we sit down and start looking for it to be fulfilled. And 5 minutes later, if it hasn't been fulfilled, we decide somebody missed God. I'm telling you, God is not in a hurry because God is not controlled by time. We are controlled by time, but God lives in eternity and he stepped into time so we could comprehend him. But God is a God of eternity and he will bring his will. He will bring his word. He will fulfill the promises that he has made. That is your destiny. Preaching to someone this morning who has been forced by the circumstances of 2007, 2008, 2009, 2010, 2011 to conclude that you've missed your chance. I feel so strongly impressed to get your attention before I go. If it had not been for the timing of the will of God, if circumstances that transpired in the economy had transpired 4 months earlier, we would have never bought this building and we would have never embarked on this adventure of a move from downtown to this location that God had ordained. And sometimes after we signed the contract and after we got into the construction, it may have seemed to you that somebody had messed up, but I want you to know that God lives in eternity and he had shot 2009, 2010, 2011. I'm here to tell you that the purpose of God has not been damaged. Your dream has not been snatched from you by the circumstances that are beyond your control. You've looked at the ledger and you've decided that your time has come and gone, that you've missed your opportunity for abundant blessing. You have concluded that your time for prophetic fulfillment has passed you by. But I want you to hear this servant of the Lord this morning. I've come to you with a compelling word from the Lord. Your time has not come and gone. Blessing has not passed you by. It's not over yet. No, not by a long way. Maybe the jealousy of your brothers and sisters has conspired to cast you into a pit of pain and despair, Joseph. But God's... Maybe the jealousy of your brothers and sisters has conspired to cast you into a pit of pain and despair, Joseph. But God's word, God's promise, God's plan is not subject to your brothers and sisters. Maybe it seems like your future has been sold to the wandering Ishmaelites for their profit and gain and for your loss. Not so. Maybe you have been imprisoned by a famine and tears, but hold on, Joseph, God's not finished with you yet. Maybe your day of deliverance has been postponed by the carnal designs of Potiphar's wicked wife, but you just remember, she's not in control. Yes, maybe your dreams of being... are being held hostage to Pharaoh's selfish designs. But I've come to declare to you it's not over yet. The same dream that brought you to where you are today will be the dream that will bring you to your destiny that God has determined for you. And 2012 is for this church a year of destiny. The destiny I'm preaching to you about this morning is a divine appointment that will be fulfilled regardless of what else happens around you and to you. It's a godly predetermination that will not be denied, sidetracked, or diverted by anyone or anything that comes your way. We think that destiny is when God moves every hindrance and forces everyone to cooperate with us fulfilling His plan. Let me say that again. We think that destiny is when God moves every hindrance and forces everyone to cooperate to bless us according to His plan. In our concept of destiny, Joseph's brothers would have been forced by God to immediately bow down to the future that God declared for him. In our concept of destiny, the Ishmaelites would have been so consumed with compassion for Joseph and guilt for their purchase of him that they would have been divinely constrained to return him to his father. In our concept of destiny, Potiphar would have refused to believe his wicked, deceitful, lustful wife. And he'd have said, "Woman, you're just acting like I always knew you would." In our concept of destiny, Pharaoh would have refused to lock Joseph in the king's prison. And he'd have said, "Wait a minute, we need to examine this fellow one more time. That's pretty flimsy evidence that you're trying to use to lock him up." But that's our concept of destiny. That's not what destiny is. Divine destiny is when God brings about His ultimate plan and His perfect will in spite of every contrary circumstance in your life. Divine destiny climbs over the jealousy of Joseph's brothers and says, let them take their shots, but in the end they will bow down just like the dream said. Divine destiny pushes past the greed of the Ishmaelite traders and says, it's just for a few days, Joseph, but it's going to be all right in the end. Divine destiny says, you can put up with Potiphar and his wife and her lustful stares if you'll just keep your integrity and if you'll purpose in your heart that you will not allow the things of the world to defile you. Your destiny is still ahead of you. Divine destiny does its best work when your dreams are incarcerated by circumstances beyond your control. I know I'm not preaching what you want to hear, but Dan, I'm preaching what the Word says. Divine destiny is what steps in when it seems like your dreams have been locked up by circumstances that you could not have foreseen. Divine destiny invades prison walls, brushes past the guards, and enforces destiny decree over the objection of every enemy circumstance. Divine destiny is when God chooses David to be king in Saul's place. Divine destiny is what happens when somebody says, but he's illegitimate, and destiny says, I don't care where he came from. Divine destiny is what steps in when everybody else says, but he's the youngest and he's redheaded and he's not even accepted at home. And divine destiny says, it makes no difference where you were. It makes no difference what you've been through. My will be fulfilled because I have determined a destiny upon your life. Divine destiny is what protects you in the midst of Saul's rage. Divine destiny does not keep Saul from hurling the javelin, but divine destiny is what lets you dodge. Oh my God, I feel the Holy Ghost. Divine destiny is what lets you step out of the way just in time, and you look back and you think, my, that could have taken me out. And it was destiny that stepped in and said, oh no, let Saul do his worst. I have determined a destiny for you, and I will bring it to pass. Divine destiny is what lets you wake up and realize, what was that Philistine king's name? I can't remember. Somebody help me. This is my first day on the job. What was that Philistine king's name? Was it Abimelech? That's not right. Anyway, you know, y'all ought to go to Sunday school sometime. They teach you these things. And you wake up and you realize they're getting ready to go to war. And I've been living under the protection of this Philistine king. And I'm not sure he's going to let me get out of here alive. And divine destiny is what says, well, just act like you're crazy. They think you are anyway. And all the Philistines come and they say, get this madman out of here. That's destiny. That's destiny that gets that lets you survive those impossible situations. My God. Do you understand what I'm preaching to you this morning? I think you get it. Divine destiny restores you. Even from your own disobedience and sin, divine destiny says, I will not let you destroy your own life. I have a plan. I have a will. I will bring it to pass. And you can't even sin your way past my hand of deliverance upon you. That's what destiny is. This year is a year of divine destiny for this church and for the people who are a part of this church. Watch destiny go to work when 40 years of wilderness wandering have been fulfilled. Joshua 5:6. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness, till all the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, were consumed, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, unto whom the Lord sware that he would not show them the land, which the Lord sware unto their fathers, that he would give us, a land that floweth with milk and honey. That's verse 6. Drop down to verse 10. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. Now, for 40 years, give or take a day or two, every day they have gone out and they have gathered, what is it? They called it manna, which means what is it? For 40 years they survived on it and they didn't even have a name for it. I mean, we call it manna, but the interpretation is what is it? And so for 40 years they've been going out every morning and they have been gathering enough for that day. And it was designed by God to be a survival ration, a little bit like an MRE, except MREs are good 50 years from now. And manna would God survive from sundown till sunup. It was designed by God to spoil. They were living in the wilderness on a survival ration that God had designed. This was angel food. And God designed it so they could not even open a manna savings account and put enough in to last until the next day, unless it was the day before Sabbath, and then it would last 2 days. You got that. They have been living hand to mouth, paycheck to paycheck, day to day, and God fixed it so they couldn't even save anything. Has anybody been around for 07, 08, 09, 10, and 11? And it almost seems as though God's fixed it. For all you rich folks, I want you to know there are a few of us around here who are not rich. So just to encourage you so you know how to pray for us, has anybody taken any hits since 07? Now all you rich folks, you pray for all those of us who have taken a hit or two. And there have been times when it's crossed your mind, it seems like God has conspired against me. Welcome to the wilderness. I'm in the book, saints. I never saw this. I've never heard anybody preach it. And after I got it, I called Brother Arcovio. I said, hey, bro. I said, check this out. Now, Arcovio's on a 40-day fast that started 3 weeks before Christmas. That's the kind of people I hang out with. And so I called him. I said, check this out. He said, man, you got something. I said, good. I'm going to preach it tomorrow. He said, is it all right if I preach it? I said, sure. Go for it, man. I found it in the book. You read the book, you'll find some good stuff too. It has appeared to some of you that events determined by God have conspired to rob you of the ability to save anything even from day to day. That is the wilderness. And that is a manna mentality. But when they got to Gilgal, They took care of some old business from the wilderness that I'm not going to preach about today, but you go back and read it. They took care of some old business, and then they kept the Passover, and the next day after Passover, they ate of the corn of the land. They had parched corn. They had corn cakes. I'm feeling hungry already because I love corn cakes. And you slice them while they're hot and you put butter on them and then you put maple syrup on them and you don't need any dessert. So they ate parched corn and they had corn cakes, and the next day the manna ceased. Verse 12, and the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna anymore, but they did eat the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. From the time Israel left Egypt till they left the wilderness, they had been living in survival mode. When they went to bed at night, they were no richer than they were when they woke up in the morning, because whatever was left over got worms in it and you had to throw it out. Every day's expenses canceled out that day's gain or profit. Under the wilderness rules, no one got richer and no one got poorer. The capacity to get gain was non-existent. Yesterday afternoon, while you were planning your New Year's celebration, the Lord dropped this in my spirit. Some of you feel like you've been marking time the past several years. It seems like the economic downturn coincided with things in your life. The purchase of our property and so on. And I know it may seem to you like you've been in survival mode, but the Holy Ghost spoke to me one day early this week and said, this year is the year of destiny. And I declare to you, I'm about to give up on manna and start eating corn. When they started to eat corn, no longer would every day's demands consume that day's provision. When you leave manna and you come to corn, you walk into a factor of multiplication of the harvest. For one kernel of corn will produce one stalk of corn, and every stalk of corn will produce one to two ears, and each ear will have 800 to 900 kernels. Do you understand? Once you leave the wilderness, then you can start to become successful in saving.
Alzheimer's is kicking in. What is it when they give you some kind of a reason to do something? There was no reward. There was no reward. That's it. There was no reward for being careful anymore. Because if it's, gather a lot, don't gather much. And no matter what you do, it's all going to go to waste. But all of a sudden, when they came in to the land of promise, and they started to eat of the corn of the land. Did you ever wonder? You see, they just got here. They haven't been here long enough to plant a crop. Before Jericho's walls ever crumbled into a pile of dust, there'd been some Israelites out scouting around, and they had obviously found a storehouse where some Canaanites had stashed some corn from previous years. And the Canaanites had fled to hide behind the walls of Jericho. And so the Israelites just went in and they said, hey guys, there's plenty for everybody. We're not going to need manna anymore.
anymore. We just moved into the multiplication of the harvest of corn. There's enough for me. There's enough for you. There's enough for you. There's enough for your children. There's enough for your family. There's enough for today and tomorrow and the next day and the next day. Now, we can start to put those kernels in the ground. And next year it will be our harvest. My God. Now, here's the good news. Something changed in the spirit 2 weeks ago when Brother David Smith called us together to the front of this building to invoke the spirit of Goshen. How many of you have been remembering to invoke the spirit of Goshen? You guys save that screen up there, and every time we go to prayer, I want you to flash that up before and after they roll those prayer requests. And we gathered together 2 weeks ago tonight around the front of this building. And we began to invoke the spirit of Goshen. For in Goshen, while Egypt was having plagues, the people of God were being protected. In Goshen, it was a well-watered plain. In Goshen, there were blessings. In Goshen, there was inheritance. In Goshen, and that was the land that was given to Israel. And so, 2 weeks ago, tonight, this church began to invoke the spirit of Goshen. And since that time, in fact, that was on Sunday night. On Tuesday, we got an email. Mel, is it all right if I tell him? Well, now, since I said your name, if I don't tell him, they'll just come ask you, so I might as well. But Mel's in, she has two more quarters at OSU on her degree. And she only had half enough to pay her tuition for this quarter and didn't know what she was going to do for the next quarter. And she'd applied and gotten all the aid that she could get. And it was 36 hours after we invoked the spirit of Goshen. She got an email, and there is a nonprofit corporation is picking up the balance of her tuition for the next two quarters. We're invoking the spirit of Goshen, and we're living in the land of Canaan. Goshen was the jumping off point for the wilderness. And Canaan was the ending point for the wilderness. I promise you, it is possible to have one foot in Goshen and the other foot in Canaan and simply straddle all of the years of wilderness wandering. Well, that didn't impress you as much as it did me. But anyway, since that Sunday night 2 weeks ago, the court-appointed receiver for and the mortgage-holding banks have accepted our offer for 1935 Schrock Road. That happened two days after we got the news from Mel. And then this past Wednesday, Linda came representing Teen Challenge and signed a lease on a piece of property we've been praying to be able to lease for the last 4 years. I want you to understand something, that God is doing something. We have come to a point of destiny. I have no tangible proof for what I'm about to tell you. I can't prove it by my personal finance, and I can't prove it by church finances. But there's a strong witness in my spirit that we have moved from manna to corn. It's just in my spirit. I can't prove it.
But Moses couldn't prove why holding a rod over the Red Sea was going to change anything. But it changed everything when he obeyed the voice of God. Joshua could not prove why sending priests into a flood-swollen Jordan would change everything. But it changed everything when their feet touched the water.
I believe that the rules have changed, Brother Hamill. I believe that we've moved out from under the wilderness rules, where every day's produce is consumed by that day's demand. On the 15th day of Nisan, they ate the Passover lamb. On the 16th of Nisan, they ate of the corn of Canaan. And the next day, when they went to look for manna, there was no more, because God saw they no longer needed it. They had come to their divinely appointed destiny, and they could now begin to accumulate wealth. Now, if this is your first visit to this church or the first time you've tuned into our webcast, I am not a prosperity preacher, but neither am I a poverty preacher. And I can't believe it, but I'm almost finished preaching. Jeremiah 29:11. Well, I got to get back to preaching more often. Two flat-footed mistakes in one message. Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then ye shall call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all of your heart." That's the scripture. The first verse of that is the scripture that's on our front wall out there. When you arrive at destiny, your prayers are answered. My God. When you come to destiny, you seek Him and He is found of you. The New International Version, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you." Now, for everybody who's told you that serving God is going to be the end of your dreams, the end of your blessing, that serving God is the end of living the good life and living the blessed life the praise team was singing about. Listen to what the Lord says. "I have plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." The Amplified Version, "For I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts of plans for welfare and peace, not for evil, to give you hope in your final outcome." The New Living Translation, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster." To give you a future and a hope. Good News Translation, "I alone know the plans I have for you. Plans to bring you prosperity and not disaster. Plans to bring about the future you hope for." The Message, "I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not to abandon you." Is there anybody here this morning that could just stand and lift your face to the heavens and say, "Lord, I trust you that you know what you're doing." Why don't you just talk to him a little bit? Say, "Lord, I believe you know what you're doing.
Lift your voice. Talk to the Lord. Tell Him, I believe you know what you're doing, Lord. I believe that you know what you're doing, Lord. He says, I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. If you've come to the end of your plans, if you've come to the end of your dreams, Mike, I wouldn't embarrass you, but you didn't come to Columbus by accident. Verizon just didn't pull a name out of the hat. But when you came here, you came walking into divine destiny in your life. You might look back at the wilderness years and think it was disaster. But destiny is when God pushes the wilderness adversaries out of your way. That's what He did for you, Andrea. God, it's out of my control. I've done everything I could do and it seems like nothing's working. This is the year of destiny in your life. Cameron, that wasn't just a whim for God to speak to you and tell you you need to move back to Columbus. Be with your dad. That's destiny, son. And don't you let the devil steal it from you. There was a time when Israel despised the manna. You go look at Numbers 11 and 6, and they despised the manna. And they said, it doesn't taste right. We wish we had what we'd been eating in Egypt. God did not, oh my, God did not shut off the manna when they despised it, because He knew they still needed it. He only shut off the manna when they no longer needed it, because He had made an alternative source of supply. If you're willing to walk into the destiny of 2012, would you just come and stand here at the front? There aren't enough of us, but what we can all get up here this morning. There are times that we couldn't do this, but we can do it this morning. You say, Lord, I've walked out of 2011. And I'm walking into the destiny that you have prepared for me in 2012.